We need to move all of that judgment, all of those solution things out of the way. Just set them aside for a while and be able to really understand what's going on with your kids. Because we know that behavior is a form of communication.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
18 Summers Tribe, we're here today with Elizabeth Bennett. Good to see you, Elizabeth.
Good to see you, and thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, great to have you here.
So you recently published a book in November, Courageous Conversations. Now, I've read Difficult Conversations, and it takes a lot of courage to have deep and meaningful conversations. And now you don't just have deep and meaningful conversations with anyone. You are focused on teens. Is that correct?
Right.
You were duped the teen genie, right?
Yes. That came about because I've been in the field of education for over 35 years in teaching, administration, and coaching. And I just felt like that part of my life is coming to a close. So I retired about a year and a half ago. But I wasn't finished. I wasn't finished having conversations with parents. I wasn't finished with having conversations with teens. And teens really, truly are my favorite characters. Full of piss and vinegar, and their hormones are raging, and they're defiant. They go into these places and spaces of behavior that's unruly at times. And my favorite thing is this one, where you see girls, and particularly in grade 8, and they do that big eye roll thing. I think they have it down to a fine science, and I think they've been practicing since they were in grade 2. That's the fun side and the exciting side of teens. The side that's really heartbreaking and heart-wrenching at the moment is bullying is rampant. Social isolation is on the increase, particularly with these lovely items called cell phones. Yeah. They are a great place for information, but they're also a space of major concern. And then we have mental health concerns are through the roof. And in North America now, suicide is the second cause of death of teens. Kids as young as 8 and 9 are taking their lives. And they've barely been on this earth long enough to enjoy life and do good things. And that shouldn't be a conversation that we're having, but that's the reality of where we live at the moment.
You have such a vast experience. Let's go 20 years. If Elizabeth of 20 years ago and Elizabeth today, what do you think? Was it better back then 20 years ago?
That's a really good question. And it is something that I talk about. And I refer to it as the pendulum. The pendulum 20 years or even longer than that, because I've been born a minute or two. With that, it was a time, and particularly during even my own youth, children should be seen and not heard. Money doesn't grow on trees. Don't speak unless you're spoken to. Boys don't cry. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about, right? All those things were of a time. That's just when they were. That was just that particular time, because we know that parents came likely from the Depression or times that were really rugged for them and they didn't know anything else. So that's just how they progressed, right? And then the pendulum has swung way in this direction, where now many parents are best friends with their children. And how does that work exactly? Kids should have the opportunity to be with their own peers and not a best friend to their mother or father. Like, there needs to be a place where we come back into the middle, where parents do the parenting things and be able to help support their children and do really good things and enjoy them and love them. Then there'll be a time later when they're older where they can have those solid and loving and foundational relationships when they're of an older age.
It's so interesting that it's gone from like the swing of sit down and shut up to like, oh my gosh, you're the smartest, most amazing thing ever. And we all want to hear everything that you have to say. The pendulum also being that we all were out of the house at 18 and we had 2 to 4 jobs and there was no like pandering or nobody was driving my butt around after I turned 16 years old. And now, in addition to this sit down and be quiet switch to you're the most important thing in the world, it's also I'm your best friend and I want to do everything for you. It's such an interesting swing in that we have 2 teens ourselves. We have 5 children total. 2 of them are teens. And it is hard to raise middle of the road children in a fully pendulum swinging, you know, environment. Because they say, well, my friends, X, Y, and Z, and my friends. And I think, gosh, I hope in 20 years I got this right, because you just don't know. But this leads into some of those conversations and how to communicate with teens so that they do want to listen, so they do want to connect. Some of these tools that you have going on, successfully navigating their emotions where they want to disconnect from you if you're not their best friend. Can you tell us some strategies of raising these more balanced young people?
That really comes from where you are too, as parents. And this is not remotely about judgment. This is about this conversation. To have a courageous conversation means to step out of your own comfort zone, even as an adult, and to be able to be vulnerable without telling them the whole sordid story of what you did when you were a teenager, right? Because more often than not, that ends up biting you in the butt because, you know, the child is saying, well, my parents did that because that's what I got at school. Those are the kinds of responses that I got at school, both from teenagers as well as their parents. Well, it shouldn't be all that bad, a parent would say, because I wasn't good at this subject area. So therefore, it's okay for them not to be. It's like, are you kidding me?
That makes sense. Yeah.
So when we step into that space of courageous conversation and vulnerability, we also need to recognize that a lot of this comes from back here. And I always point back there because that's our past, right? Wow. Whatever that looked like. So I gave you a brief description of some of the things that I heard and how my parents were at that time. They were doing the best they could. They both worked. There was lots going on. They had limited tools because that's what it was like then, of a generation. We have more tools now and we have more things going on. But what we also have is that stuff that does come forward. So I refer to it as filters. So the filters in the way we see and the way we speak and the way we hear and the way we listen. And our kids have them as well. So they have an expectation of the way you show up. For an example, if you happen to be really assertive or you yell, as an example, because that's often the conversation that I'm having when I'm coaching parents, right? They might be way more aggressive or it's just a stern way of speaking. So their kids expect that that's how the parent is going to show up all the time. So what I coach them with and I suggest to them is, okay, take a look at what's going on over here. How are you showing up? And be responsible for understanding how you show up. And that if that's the way that it's occurring to your kids, then you need to say to them, okay, I recognize that from time to time I lose my cool because things are stressful at work, or I'm frustrated with you because things aren't getting done, or so on. But let's start a different kind of conversation. Help me to work with you to be able to, you know, sit down and have a conversation. So one of the things that I suggest to parents is one of the 5 strategies of dedicated listening that's in my book. And the first one is about understanding versus judgment. So we as the adults need to move our judgment out of the way because we're very quick to want to solve the problem, right? We don't want our kids to be hurting. We don't want them to be angry or sad or anything else in between. So we want to be able to, right off the tip of our tongue, not entirely listen, but only hear what your kid has said. And you respond right away because you, well, that's not the way that is. Or, oh, I've got a solution for you. We need to move all of that judgment, all of those solution things out of the way. Just set them aside for a while and be able to really understand what's going on with your kids. Because we know that behavior is a form of communication, whether the behavior is great or not. And rather than only responding to the behavior, we need to be curiously engaged to find out what's going on underneath it. So I noticed that you were really angry or really upset or so on. And you know full well that if you've chosen the wrong word, they're going to tell you right away. So you keep picking another. Okay, so then tell me how it is that you are right at the moment and give me something to work with. Let me understand what's going on for you. And that's part of the beginning of those conversations. And likely you do that already with your kids.
And now is that part of your confidently connecting? You're just connecting. And I think that's such a great differentiation instead of, I didn't hear you, and then tell you exactly what to do, tell you you've done it all wrong. And then I can't believe you did that. You know, I mean, that's really a typical package of a ancestral trauma parent. beautiful package of crap. And so instead, what I hear you saying is you're doing more inquiry.
And that's why I call it being curiously engaged, right? Because you're continuing to be a detective about what's going on with them, because they're not likely to share everything right away. And depending on what kind of relationship you already have, if it's tumultuous, if there's stuff going on, if things aren't going well and you're not having any kind of conversation, you know, your kids are quick to grab their cell phone, put on their hoodie and out they go, then there needs to be a different place to be able to bring them back and say, okay, so tell me what's going on. You're the parent at home and your kid comes home after school and you say, hey, so how was your day, right? You haven't seen them all day. You want to get engaged. You're asking a question that you think is reasonable. And here's what happens. Hi, honey, how was your day? Fine. Because these are a bunch of four-letter words that I don't really like. Fine, nice, good, and there's nothing. Well, how was your day? Fine. Well, what did you do all day? Nothing. Well, what do you mean you did nothing, right? And there's that escalation piece over here with the parent. And here's this beginning to be apathy piece over here going on with your child. Well, what do you mean you did nothing? And up goes the hoodie, in go the earbuds, out comes the cell phone, and they're out of town, right? They just take off. Now they're disappointed and upset and frustrated and heartbroken too, because you haven't asked them a question about them. You ask them a question about their day and what happened out there. And sometimes kids aren't ready to process that or haven't had the time to let go of everything that's happened in the day. And meanwhile, you're over here frustrated and angry, upset, and you're heartbroken too, because you were asking a simple question and you thought it was a question that worked, right? Because you just want to know what's going on. And so that's where the disconnect comes in, because now your kid's in their room or wherever they go with their cell phone and their games and whatever else, technology. And then you're stuck there saying, okay, well, what do I do next? And how do I engage? Then you're sort of in a frenzy already. And then you just want to go after them. And that's, again, a time where you just need to, okay, what do I need to do to regroup too, right?
So what are some other questions?
You might want to ask more about, I think there are several things that need to happen, and not all kids react the same way, because you have five, so you know that they are all very different characters.
I swear they tell each other how to do it different than the one before, so that we...
Well, it keeps you on your toes, right? You can ask that question and at the same time say, hey, you know what? I haven't seen you all day. I just want to know what's going on. So that's a little bit different than this heightened thing in a response to a response. Rather than just saying, hi, honey, you know, I haven't seen you all day. I just want to know what's going on, so that it's a more inviting kind of conversation and being able to say, you know what, we haven't touched base in a while. How are things going? You told me about, you said you were writing a test this week. How did that go for you? Did you feel that you were successful with it? So that you're probing and you're being curiously engaged and you're trying to find out what's going on with them at the same time, but still being in that space of chill, for lack of a better word.
Now, you brought up an interesting thing, Elizabeth, that we hear all the time. I mean, all the time. It's of a today age, definitely wasn't around 20 years ago. And that's with the little device that you picked up and showed us. I'd love to know your take on how you're handling it, because I've rarely ever heard a parent go, gosh, my kid is just never on their phone. So we have our own takes on how we try to do it. One of them being example. I know when I've been a bad example, well, what do you expect? You know, we say, drop your phone, and we turn around and get back to our bad habits. How are you navigating those waters? What are you telling parents now? Because this is a hot topic.
Yeah. Well, it's actually one of the three tips that I give at the end of when I have a conversation or I'm on a podcast. And one of them is you need to establish some time when it's cell-free or when it's video-free or when it's television-free or whatever, because we all get into this place. And again, it's not about judgment. It's about just recognizing what we do. And you mentioned that by saying, oh my God, well, if I'm doing it, you know, what do I want to expect? But here we have that. We're flipping through our cell phone, we're watching Netflix, and we're having conversation at the same time. How well are we doing in any of those things, right? So it's about being able to say whether you choose it, and it's part of the conversation because you need to lead into it too, particularly if you have teenagers. Because putting constraints on them without any kind of explanation is just an invitation for war. And neither one of you need it. You don't need it as the adult and you don't need it as the child. So having the conversation about saying, you know what, we don't get a chance to sit down very often and have conversation. There needs to be a time when we're all responsible for putting our cell phone in that little bucket beside the kitchen table or wherever it is that you're meeting and greeting. If you're sitting in your patio area right where you are, whatever. You know what? For half an hour, 45 minutes, or whatever that is, I want to be able to have conversation with you about other things. Tell me about what's going on in the world. You can say, I just listened to a podcast, or I read an article, or I just saw this on TV. What do you think? So that you're inviting them into conversation. It's not simply just headbutting thing that we get ourselves involved with. And then you can say, this is why we're doing this, because we want to spend some quality time together, because we are all in this phase of instant gratification. We want stuff right away, right? That's part of the social isolation piece, is that we're looking for all those likes. We're looking for all that stuff. We're looking for that gratification and that acknowledgement and that perfect virtual world that we think we live in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
You also referenced falling through the cracks. And I wonder, lots of the things that we've talked about have referenced, have brought me back to this idea of falling through the cracks. So if in that moment when my child walks through the front door and I don't connect, in that moment, I've kind of missed an opportunity, you know, falling through the crack. Or as you're saying, if they're on their phone and I've not set proper parameters, then our relationship or then the communication can kind of fall to the side. When you talk about falling through the cracks, what are you trying to work against? You know, what are you hoping to fail safe?
When I talk about that, and it's mostly because of my experience in education, that's the majority of time when kids fall through the cracks. And there are a couple of things. And again, it's not about judgment. It's about what just is at the moment. We're having a difficult time with governments and being able to support services in our schools. I mean, in North America, Canada, and the US, there's not enough money that we need to be finding out what are the important things. We can't have successful businesses and industry. We can't have successful families if we're not willing to support them, right? That's a whole other topic and I won't get into it, but you get the flavor of where I'm going. Sure. So that's one of them, because if we don't have the services in school to help support our kids, we spend the majority of time with them at school.
Right.
And with the needs they have, the class sizes, the diversity in a variety of ways, whether it's people who have come from places and spaces in other countries who are coming into our classrooms, or special needs in a variety, that's a whole spectrum as well. And just learning abilities in a classroom. So we teach our teachers to understand that kids learn differently. We're not all in that space. And you might recall this too, when everybody sitting in a straight row and the teacher is the font of information in the front and just spews it all over and hopes that it lands on you somehow. Now is a time for us to be able to provide an opportunity for kids to learn and grow in a classroom. And I was one of those teachers. You want to read sitting on the floor? Be my guest. Bring a pillow, right? If it's going to get you to read, then that's what we're all about. It's the same thing with conversation. If we're doing, and I speak about that in another strategy, if we're trying to help support kids, then we need to be working together with families, because this is not an us versus them. We need to be able to understand what's going on for you. And it's not to be, you know, spying or critical or so on. It's like, okay, so tell me what's going on in your family as best as you want to share, so that we have some kind of idea how to work with your kids here. And then the work that we're doing here, we want to share with you to say, we need to work together to figure this out, because either side might not be working well. And what can we do, right? Are there other services that we can provide? Are there areas that we can help support with that can be special needs programs or whatever that looks like, depending on what's happening with each of your children, right? So those needs need to be supported so that we continue to support kids. Now, what ends up happening in this falling through the cracks piece is sometimes we don't have supports. Sometimes parents aren't willing to share any information. And so that becomes a piece where we're trying to work it out in the classroom as it's working through the day. And sometimes that doesn't work particularly well, and it takes away from other things that need to happen in the classroom. So we continue to want to share those in terms of behavior or attitude or so on. But there are times where kids might show up in a classroom looking like they've got it all together. and it might be brutal at home, right? Yeah. And the school might be the safe space for them. In other ways, kids might blow out at school and things aren't going well, or they hold themselves together and then they blow out at home because that's their safer space, right? So it's a combination of all of those, but those are the kinds of things that happen. Oftentimes there will be parents who are working two or three jobs because that's just what they have to do to make ends meet. Meanwhile, their kids in some cases might find unsavory characters to be with because that's a sense of community, right? It could be the local gang, and because they can have friends, if they do things, then they get appreciated because that might be a missing piece. It's not anybody's fault. It just, that's their situation. It's a lot of those combinations of things that we find that that's where kids are falling through the crack, when there might be a situation where they're being bullied and nobody is saying anything. And that's not helpful because there have been times in the past where I've had conversations with teachers as well as students and parents and saying, because there's this old thing that's out there saying, you know, snitches get stitches. And it's like, oh my God, that's the worst thing that you could say, because we need your help to report. You're reporting so that you can maybe save some other kid's life. That's really the bottom line now, because, you know, they have so much that they're trying to keep together for themselves. Do they have friends? Are they wearing the right clothes? Are they wearing the right shoes? Is their hair done the right way? Do they have enough likes on social media? You know, whatever's going on in their home life. What's happening in their classrooms? Are they learning? Can they keep up? Do they even care about what's going on, right? All of that stuff is so heavily weighted on them. So I give the analogy to parents. If you imagine that everything that I just said, each statement is on a rock, and that rock is in their backpack, and they're carrying that all the time, and they don't know how to tell you about it because they don't have the skills or strategies to be able to explain it. They have all these emotions that are going on, their worries, their concerns, their excitement, everything is in there. I mean, even as adults, from time to time, we don't know how to do it. So can you imagine what it's like for someone who's 10, right?
Yes. Now, Elizabeth, what are the five strategies?
Understanding versus judgment is the first one. And they're not in any particular order because they blend.
Our audience is all parents. And so thinking of it from that perspective, I'm excited because I know that that'll be really beneficial to know how to engage.
Perfect. So understanding versus judgment is the first one. Intentional focus is the second one. And that means to take some time with each of your children separately from the others. It doesn't need to be an all-day affair, but it could at least be half an hour, a couple of times a week, just to engage with them. Because as you know, having a family your size, right? Each of your children have a different personality.
We wrote a book on one-on-one time.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so you get it, right? You understand the importance of it. Another one is finding flow. So when you're having conversations with kids, sometimes you need to allow them to take the conversation where it needs to go for them. This is not always about us. And again, that's part of the dedicated listening, to allow them to have that space to take that conversation somewhere. Because going back to the intentional time, we also need to recognize that there's going to be those silent spaces because kids process and so do we. And sometimes what we need to do is to allow that silent time or that quiet space just to be that. Because often as parents and as adults, we often want to fill that space because we think there's going to be something wrong if we're not saying something, if we're not talking all the time.
Yeah. So we're so insecure, right?
But yeah,
I'm very much suffering from that disease.
Another one that I have is understanding first and speaking second. And that ties in nicely with the first one, understanding versus judgment. In the understanding first, it's about asking your child what it is that you would like them to do in this conversation. Because sometimes, you know, even as we come in to our own homes in conversation with our partner, you know, we might just want them to listen. We just want to vent, right? We had a really shitty kind of day and we just want to just don't say a word. Just let me drop it on you, right? Because hopefully it just drops from you right onto the floor. But that's the space first. And then you can say, even when the conversation is starting, what would you like me to do? Do you want me to just listen? Are you looking for me to have conversation with you so that we can solve the problem, or at least look at it and let me walk along beside you so that we can come up with a solution? And I get the internet has good, bad, and indifferent kinds of things, but at least if we need to look up something, let's look it up together and let's have some conversation about some of the choices, right? So that's the space, so that you're inviting them into that. And then the last one is reflective engagement. And that's really about acknowledging your child for what they've shared with you. Because oftentimes kids carry the burden of what's going on, right? What's going on in their life, or maybe sexual inappropriateness, or there's been bullying, or there's been something. And they've tried to work it out themselves because they know typically from their experience at school that if they say anything, then chances are great it's going to be bigger for them, right? So to acknowledge them for having shared what's going on with them, because for them it's big. So you can say something like, I just really want to thank you for sharing with me. I really can't believe that you carried that by yourself for so long. And just being in that space with them.
I like that.
That's good. And those tips can be used in other relationships as well. I really like
that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a spousal one. Mm-hmm.
I think that my continued focus is to probably write another book on workplace and government conversations, because they don't listen at all.
Who knows? Now, Elizabeth, where can people find out more about you? Where can they get their book? You know, we want our listeners to know.
All of that is in one location. I make it handy for people. It's on www.courageousnetwork.com.
Perfect.
I love the takeaways. And that last one, I think, is just such a finale of acknowledging, because we always try to say the solution doesn't have to be as complicated as we've made the problem. And that one is so clear, concise, and effective when you really think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that is my big takeaway today. There's lots of things I took away, but that is a great one. We're always learning something. That's probably why we do this, because we're such a work in progress. I'll be thinking of you every time the A word comes.
Well, and usually the one that I finish with, which is not on the five strategies, but it's get out and have some fun. Put away the cell phone for a period of time. You know, if it happens to be here, go tobogganing with your kids, have a snowball party, even dance in the rain, or go skipping, or one of those games with chalk on the sidewalk, and play, just do something outlandish, something different, something just to have, because we don't laugh enough. We don't have a good enough time with each other often enough. So this is a space to be able to do that. Because you know what? In the end, because we say this as adults often, busy, busy, busy. You know what? Busy is always going to be there. We're never going to achieve not being busy. So busy is always going to be there. Your kids might not be.
Great wisdom. Thank you so much for being
with us. Yeah, thanks for being with us. We'll look forward to more conversations.
Thanks. Okay, perfect. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.